Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up this morning, so get yourself over there and read that when you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. Now, don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Dan and I were talking again off air, and I was nowhere close to placing on FanDuel last night. I got a solid pitching performance out of Jake Arrieta. He went for 40 points for $9,900. I would have liked to have seen him get a little closer to 50, but oddly, another low strikeout performance. He only put up 4. But as a whole, my team still only managed a whopping 116.3 points. I did only take 1-0, so at least my guys all managed to get some type of hit. But man, I just cannot put the hitting together for whatever reason as of late. My pitchers are doing fine, but my hitters just stink. So we'll see what happens today. Here's what I got going on. I'm going to go with Jason Vargas. He actually only cost me $6,400. He's pitching for the Royals tonight against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is one of the teams that strikes out the most in Major League Baseball. I don't know if they're actually the most, but they're right up there. So I'm hoping maybe I can rack up some strikeouts and the Royals will keep hitting after breaking out of that shutout streak there last night. Oddly, I actually didn't set this up this time, but I ended up with Sal Perez as my catcher. He's hitting 5th for the Royals tonight. He cost me $2,600. First base, I'm going with Joey Votto, who cost me $4,200, but he's hitting 3rd for the Reds last night. And, Joey Votto, he's been pretty tight. Second base tonight, it's Yolmer Sanchez of the White Sox. He cost me $3,400. I stayed in that same game, but I'm going with Jorge Polanco of the Twins as my third baseman. He cost me $3,600. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. I heard an interesting stat on Polanco. I believe he has 9 home runs this year, and 7 of them have came against the White Sox. So I'm just kind of jumping on that bandwagon, hoping it works out. My shortstop is Elvis Andrews of the Texas Rangers. He cost me $3,600. He's hitting 2nd for them tonight. Then my outfield is J.D. Martinez of the Diamondbacks. He cost me $4,100. He's in 5th. Mookie Betts of the Red Sox, cleanup for the Red Sox tonight. He cost me $3,900. And my outfield wraps up with Yasiel Puig of the Dodgers, $3,200, hitting 6th for them. So just really quickly, Jason Vargas, my pitcher, Sal Perez, my catcher, Joey Votto at first, Yolmer Sanchez at 2nd, Jorge Polanco at 3rd, Elvis Andrews at short, and the outfield is J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Yasiel Puig. What did you come up with there, Dan?
I actually did much better than you did last night with Dylan Bundy hitting 73 points, but Joe Meyer, Evan Longoria, and Javi Baez got a whopping 9 points between the three of them, so I did not hit the money. But tonight, I wasn't in Las Vegas, but I went down to Houston, or shall I say Florida, with Dallas Keuchel.
Wait, hang on, you're fading. You hang on, you're fading out there. Wait, hang on. They can't hear you. You're fading out really bad.
Well, I emailed you my lineup. I don't know if you can hear me.
I couldn't hear you until you said you emailed me your lineup. I will pull it up and we will see what Dan decided to go get the FanDuel lineup today, because right now his connection just stinks for whatever reason. So we will go with Dan's lineup here. He spent $9,100 on Dallas Keuchel to be his pitcher. He did the same thing I did. He paired up the pitcher with the catcher. He's going with Brian McCann, who cost him $2,700. His first baseman is Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs for $4,600. Brandon Drury at second base, just $2,200 of the Diamondbacks. I hope that works out. I've got him in one of the Yahoo leagues. Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets is his third baseman for $2,700. Zach Cozart of the Reds is his shortstop for $3,200. And then his outfield is Avisail Garcia for $3,700. And he spent $3,400 on his last two guys, A.J. Pollock of the Diamondbacks and Kevin Kiermaier of the Rays. So there's what Dan's going with. I would tell you where they were in the batting order, but the numbers are kind of small, and there's no way in hell I can read them. So we're just going to go with Dan's lineup and stick with that. So hopefully one of us will win frickin' something, but the way it's been going, it ain't going to be me unless all of a sudden I get the magical hitter's touch.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that easy when you're going up against 30,000 other people.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those fun things. So, but, you know, it is, what day is it? It is Wednesday. So we did actually have some afternoon baseball. It looks like the only final so far, the Orioles beat the Mariners 8-7. But I do think that's a lie, because I thought I saw another final. Why do they only have one listed? Brad Barbrack got the win. Zach Britton got the save, if you have that going on. And Christian Bergman took the loss there. Come on, where is it? Don't lie to me. I know there's another final, because I saw the Brewers beat the Cardinals on a great pitch to end the game. So they can't lie to me and tell me that there wasn't a final here. I don't know why they would do that to beat Dan. Here it is. Okay, boy, there's a lot more than just that. Let's see what we got here. We've got the Braves just taking it to the Phillies today, 9-1. R.A. Dickey got the win. Jared Eichhoff took the loss. The Indians beat the Yankees 2-1. I believe that was game one of a doubleheader. Trevor Bauer got the win. Cody Allen picked up a save. Jaime Garcia took a loss. Yeah, here's the game I saw. Milwaukee beat the Cardinals 6-5. Chase Anderson got the win. Corey Knebel picked up the save, and Carlos Martinez took the loss. And the last final had the Detroit Tigers beating the Colorado Rockies 6-2. Justin Verlander got the win, and Chad Bettis took the loss there. I caught the end of the Brewers-Cardinal game, Dan, and the Cardinals had a man on, down one with two outs in the top of the ninth, and Randall Grichuk hit a ball that looked like it was going out, and Kevin Brockton went back to the fence and robbed the home run for the Brewers to pick up the win. So,
I'm gonna rally, Ken.
Yeah, well, you know, they were not allowed to have the Raleigh cat. The place would not give that to them because the shelter or the rescue place, whatever, said they wouldn't give it to them because they were just going to attempt to profit off it. So hopefully they find that cat a good home. I don't know what I'm sure the Cardinals will have taken great care of them, but whatever kind of works out. But speaking of the Cardinals, Dan, we actually had a trade. You know, tomorrow is the last day to make trades, and I don't know if or what this signals anything for the Cardinals, but they sent Mike Leake to the Seattle Mariners, Dan. Look at that. In return, the Cardinals get a minor league shortstop by the name of Raider Asanio. They picked up some international cap space money, which totaled $750,000. Maybe they can throw that in there. Shohei Ohtani fund and try to sign him. And then they also get the wonderful cash consideration. So, yeah, look at that. Somebody actually made a deal before the the official trade deadline went away.
How do you think that fares for your team?
Oh, well, you know, considering Leak has really sucked since post All-Star break, I'm not quite sure what the heck it means at all there, because he has been bad. You know, he started off so good to begin the season, but you know, I want to say might have been 6-0 or 5-0 or something like that, and now he's 7-12 with an ERA of 4.21. You know, he does make all his starts. That's the plus side. He's not injured too often, but yeah, I can't say I'm excited about it. I mean, he is only 29, so, you know, he's got a lot of years ahead of him, but it's not, maybe he helps. I know they've been really banged up in the rotation, so, you know, we'll kind of see how it goes, but I don't know. I mean, is that something that gets your attention when you see that they picked up Mike Leake?
Not really.
You know, and I mean, looking here, it doesn't appear they gave up too much to get up this Ascanio. I don't know. I'm going to butcher his name probably 8,000 ways. Like, he's been minors for the Mariners for 5 seasons. He's a career 240 hitter with just 15 home runs in 426 games. He spent some time at high A ball and class A this season. So even though he's been in the system for 5 years, he still looks like he's a long way away. He is only 21 though. So maybe, you know, there's kind of development later on, but I mean, just kind of looking at just his numbers, it doesn't look like they gave up a whole lot to bring Mike Leake in. So I guess it's worth the gamble. You know, Leake is signed. He signed through 2020, so they're going to have him a few more years. I got to look and see. They've got to have his salary down here. Let me hunt down and see what they're going to end up paying him. Yeah, he's due to make $17 million next year. Then it drops to $16 and then $15 million in 2020. There is an $18 million option for 2021 with a $5 million buyout. So, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, again, like I said, it's not the kind of deal that jumps off the table at you, but you know, maybe he'll find something and he'll get back in a little bit of a groove to help. I mean, for his career, he does have a winning record for his career. He's 80-76. And, you know, for a while, he pitched for some pretty rough Cincinnati Reds teams. You know, but I would have to say, I guess, Dan, right now, Mike Leake's claim to fame is he's the last player to go straight from the college draft into the majors, right?
I guess. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, too much, but, you know, like I said, we'll kind of see, you know, how it goes. Now, are you expecting any other trades, even minor ones, do you think we might get? They have, I don't know what the time is tomorrow, but they have until, you know, whatever time tomorrow to get everything completed. And, you know, I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday. You know, we're not expecting like a Miggy Cabrera to go anywhere or maybe even a Justin Verlander at this point. But, you know, I guess the other question, do you see this as the Cardinals maybe kind of grasping the reality that they're out of it? I mean, they're 5.5 out of the second wild card spot. you know, they would have to jump three teams to get into it. You know, that can be a little tough when you got to jump the extra teams. They're actually 5.5 out of the division lead as well, where they're, what is it, 2.5 games behind the Brewers? Yeah, 2.5 games behind the Brewers, and then, of course, 5.5 behind the Cubs. Do you see this as them kind of throwing in the proverbial white flag here, and they're just going to kind of look for next year?
Sitting there right at 500, I think they more or less have to.
Yeah, I guess you got to make those tough decisions, and, maybe that's what they're going with.
You know, what I find very interesting, though, is, for years, we talked about how from the top to the farm and back up again, the Cardinals have always had it put together and were able to make a lot out of nothing, so to speak. And since the issue came out with the hacking of the Astros, and, that guy no longer being in baseball, I think he went to jail. I find it interesting that they're not at the same level as they used to be.
Yeah, they still seem to manage to contend, but they just can't, they can't seem to get over the hump, and I don't know if, if it's one, just one piece missing, or, maybe it's something in the front, the front office, but yeah, you kind of wonder, what's going on there. But yet, and I am still baffled by this one, Dan. I see reports all the time that apparently, there are teams still calling on Giancarlo Stanton. We mentioned he's got the large contract. He does have a buyout coming up here, I think, pretty soon. I don't remember if there was more than one included, but, the list, and now this is from Buster Only, which I thought was quite interesting because obviously he's really good about this, but he has the Giants, the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Cubs as potential teams that are interested in acquiring Stanton. I think you and I were both kind of under the belief that we don't think this is something that's going to happen until the off season, just because of the contract and kind of the lingo that goes with it. But, if the Marlins obviously were just sold, wouldn't you want a franchise player to build your organization around? Why do they seem so intent on getting rid of this guy?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's look behind it. If you want to, you can write an article about teams that are linked or, would like to sign Giancarlo Stanton. I think he's pretty much the same all the 31 other teams in the college state, right?
Yeah, well, that's what, I give this a little more credit because it's Buster Olney, and he's a little bit more of an insider than, some of the guys that write these articles. So that's why I kind of take it with a little more interest when, he puts a team down. But, in reality, every team except the Marlins should be interested in acquiring Stanton. Even a rebuilding team like the Reds should be interested.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the Marlins that are even entertaining this idea or, if it's just the insiders getting a hold of the fact that, a team like, let's just say the Cubs and the Yankees trying to pick them, which, let's be honest, nobody is untouchable, or nobody should be untouchable, but at the same token, would you not be doing your job if you're a Jet or CEO or Brian Cashman and not contacting them? I mean, of course you are. But like you said, I think
New
ownership, that this would be a guy you'd want to build around.
Yeah, you know, again, like I said, it just seemed kind of strange. You just paid, you know, all that money to get your franchise. You have a difficult time drawing there anyways. So your answer to getting fans to come to your ballpark is trade your best player. The team has played better as of late. You know, they managed to get themselves back over 500. They're sort of kind of hanging around in the wild card race. You know, I don't understand how this helps you. I mean, I get it. Okay, you deal him and you get three or four quality prospects back. But then, you know, you're back at the point where you've got to hope these guys turn out. And if you don't get them all to work out, you know, you're just dealt a guy who's probably going to be a guaranteed 40 home run, 100 RBI guy per year if he's healthy. Even when they go back to the old baseballs they used before they juiced them up this year.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, it's actually been proven. So. So, yeah, you know, it just, again, it just seems so, you know, it's just another one of these cases of where it's, you're listening to, well, you know, you got to go out and get these prospects. You need these prospects. You have to have, you know, prospects. And I don't understand why people don't realize that prospects don't win you World Series. You know, it takes time for these guys to develop. You know, I mean, it's great what the White Sox did. You know, they've got the one of the top rated farm systems in baseball. Now, if every one of those prospects work out, they may contend for a World Series by 2020. Dana, I'm looking at the calendar here. It's still 2017, right?
Yeah, but Yohan Moncada was called up and they had 5,000 walk-up tickets.
Right, and he's hurt. He's been hurt twice since being brought up. So we're off to a fantastic start with him. You know, and I mean, to be fair, you know, Lucas Giolito has looked very good in his couple of starts. Ronaldo Lopez has been okay. But even so, I mean, you are years away from this being a functionally contending team. You know, I mean, maybe you get a flirtation like the Brewers this year. You know, if all your numbers work together and it's like, hey, everything's working right for us this year. You know, it helps that for whatever reason, the Cubs seem to suck this year and don't want to run away with the division like they really should be. So, you know, the Brewers get to hang around. It's fun for their fans. You know, don't be surprised next year if Milwaukee's a 75-win team because they really are just in the middle of a rebuild. So yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, if you're any team, I mean, yeah, you've got to call and say, hey, what's it going to take? And I mean, I know, you know, Cub fans may cry, but you know, this is the time you've got to ship off maybe a Kyle Schwarber and a Javi Baez or an Addison Russell to get this deal done. You do this deal.
Yeah.
You know, the Yankees have plenty of prospects. You know, I mean, I don't know if it would focus on a Clint Frazier. Obviously, Aaron Judge isn't going anywhere, even though he struggled in the second half. But we know the Dodgers have a boatload of guys. You have to wonder maybe they put a package around Yasiel Puig, and Puig goes to Miami where the fan base is hugely Cuban, if that could help them out. But you know, again, it's just all part about getting, you know, what you can get. And I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking even if I'm the Dodgers, you know, that's a deal I'd be willing to give up, you know, good old Julio Urias in. You know, if I had to bring a Stanton in, I think my pitching is good enough to do that.
Yeah.
But especially now, if I could sign Darvish, the money the Dodgers have. You know, you could afford to throw him in. You give up Weed, Urias. You may not have to give up any more. you know, to bring that in. And you know, that could be, you know, imagine him in the lineup with the way that it's now. You know, your guy Cody Pointer just came back. He's in the lineup tonight. Sadly, that probably spells the end for your other guy, Adrian Gonzalez, though, because Bellinger would probably have to play first base every day. But, you know, you add him in with, you know, the way Justin Turner's played, and you got Corey Seager and, you know, the catching duo, Grandal and I believe it's Austin Barnes, have hit really well this year. You know, that could be a monster type of lineup. So, you know, yeah, I could easily see jumping up and down to acquire him. It'd be like, okay, what do you want? But yeah, again, like, you know, I don't think, you know, I honestly, you know, with just one day to go here, I don't think we'll see him dealt until next year, or you know, maybe Bob, I should say. So we'll have to see how it goes. You know, there was something I saw this morning, and I wrote a little about it. I'm just dying to get your opinion on this, and I don't know if you've seen this one, but there's a new company out there, Dan. It's called Rep the Squad. Have you heard of these guys?
No, you can send me an email about that.
Okay, now what they do, well, if you don't read the blog, you would have thought about it. What they do with this is it is a company that allows you to rent, not buy, but rent player jerseys. All right, you buy a monthly subscription, just like I'm guessing to a Netflix or Video Fly or whatever one of those things are. It's $19.95 for adults and $16.95 for children. You get the jersey. You basically keep it as long as you want. When you return it, they send you the next one out of it's your queue, but they call it your locker because it's got to be cool sports talk. You know, and then again, you just keep that one. There's no charge for cleaning it. I looked into that. You send it back in a prepaid envelope, and you know they say they're dry cleaned immediately when they're returned. The only way you would end up paying for a jersey is if it came back, like he jokingly said, if they got a Raiders jersey to come back all cut up. So if there was damage to the jersey, you know, you would have to pay for it. Now, interestingly, they're only starting with three teams, Dan. As of right now, you can only get San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, and Detroit Lions jerseys. But apparently they have four different type of jerseys and the different four and five different types of jerseys and styles for you. Like here it said, they're starting by offering four different Russell Wilson jerseys and five different Barry Sanders jerseys.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, now I'm, you know, I think I own one jersey, Dan. I've never really been a big, huge jersey type of guy or type of wearer. Is this something you would do for $20 a month?
But,
you know, because, I
think it'd be different if I had
you know, obviously, you know, they're looking to get into all the sports. You know, it's something they're going to try to expand in depending on how this goes. And, you know, I guess my biggest thing, Dan, is I'm not really a germaphobe or anything, but I think I would have an issue wearing a rented jersey. You know, even though obviously, like they said, they're going to be dry cleaned. It's just kind of that mental hang up there that I would have not knowing who wore it before me. Is that something that would kind of affect you, or how would you kind of, would you be okay with, or would you be washing it at home? I mean, it showed up in your mail, and the first thing you're doing is throw it in the washing machine?
Pretty much. I mean, but, yeah, I guess I never thought of that. I mean, I bought stuff on eBay, so I guess I really wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, it's just kind of, again, like I said, just kind of weird. They do actually, what I found interesting is there's actually some, one current Seahawk and a couple former Seahawks who are investors in the company. They got, you know, Doug Baldwin, who's a current wide receiver on the team. Golden Tate, who was formerly with the Seahawks, now he's a wide receiver with the Detroit Lions. And the Seahawks' former, I believe he was an all-pro offensive tackle, Russell Okun, who's now with the Los Angeles Chargers, and trust me, that's really weird to say. They're all investors in this group. It was co-founded by, one guy's name is Barry Watkins, and they also credit Howard Schultz, who was a co-founder of Starbucks. This is apparently their brainchild. I've never done Netflix, Dan. I've never done Video Fly, any of that kind of stuff. Do you like the service? I mean, I don't know enough about it to really know if it's reliable.
I did GameFly like however many months ago, but I did Netflix when you used to be able to, when you actually got DVD. I mean, it wasn't bad, but like anything else, it kind of loses its value. You really have to really want to keep going.
Yeah, I know. Our good friend Paulie Tomaselli used to do the GameFly thing, and he really enjoyed it. But that's when he was single, and all he did was kind of hang out and play video games. Now you kind of know how that is. He's married with a child, and it's a little different. Little different scenario now. Those things have a tendency to change your lives. But yeah, I know he enjoyed it very much, but I didn't really know anybody else who had it. Now, is that something, does your nephew use that? Because isn't he a pretty big video game guy?
No, that would require credit cards and online stuff. So, he just gets kind of the games and then trades them all back into the game stuff. So he still does that.
Oh, okay. Who knows what they... you know how I am with those things. I'm just clueless, so how it works out. But yeah, I definitely thought it was it's an interesting concept, I guess, so to speak. But I know one of the things they put out there is they talk about how many jerseys can you really afford to buy. And, part of my problem with it is if you're an adult and you're paying $20 a month for this service, well, in 6 months, if you save that $20, you could have a jersey. So I don't know if that's really their best selling point. I mean, maybe I get it for the kids because, Dan's learning that when you're a kid, they're wonderful at destroying clothes. As a big fat guy, I'm actually still wonderful at destroying clothes because the world's not built for me and I get hooked on crap all the time and end up ripping stuff. I don't know. Maybe it would be better to, go the kids route and get your kid a jersey every month or couple months.
Wait, you're allowed to keep it just for 1 month. You can't wear it on Sunday. Ship it back on Monday.
The way it appears is you're allowed to keep it as long as you want. Meaning, a day, a week, a month, maybe a year. As long as you're paying that monthly fee, it appears that, maybe you want, like I think opening night is the Cowboys versus the Giants. you know, maybe you're rooting for the Cowboys and you want to, well, they don't have it, but you'd want a Dak Prescott jersey. So, you know, you wear that to your game day party or your Thursday night football party, wherever you're going. And then you send it back that Thursday and, you know, you're looking for something for Sunday, whatever your favorite team is. You know, maybe you need your, you know, your Mike Glennon jersey or your Mitchell Trubisky jersey for your Bears game on Sunday.
I mean, because that's the way I would use it. And I don't need it for a day for a Sunday game. But, I mean, it's something your high school, your, you know, you wear your Barry Sanders jersey on Monday, ship it back, hopefully get another one by Thursday. You're wearing, you know, Russell Wilson on Friday, shipping that back. You're wearing, you know, Marshawn Lynch next week. I mean, that one brings value.
Yeah. As long as the turnaround time is quick, you know, and you could get them back at a, you know, a decent time frame, you know, again, I could see, you know, something, you know, using it kind of like that. But otherwise, yeah, I couldn't see, you know, why do I want to rent the, you know, I'm going to rent, you know, I don't know, like I said, a Mitchell Trubisky jersey for 6 months while the season's going on. You know, I mean, I basically spent the money renting it that I could have saved to buy it. So, it just makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know, maybe that would be something you would do. But I think this is more designed for people who, you know, like you said, aren't going to be able to get, how many jerseys can you buy if they're all $60+ or more? Like I said, you wear one month, 1 week. I mean, even for $20 a month, if you're able to get it within a week's time, it means you wore four different jerseys all month, and, you know, you're the full kid in class.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wondering if this is, you know, something maybe we should pitch to Mr. Fantasy. You know, he's got that little boys club they do, you know, every Monday they meet at Buffalo Wild Wings to watch whatever the Monday night game is with the guys from our money league. And before anybody asks, no, I'm rarely invited to go. It's just one of those things. I'm not cool like that. But, you know, he could do something like that and wear a different jersey to, you know, as long as the turnaround's fast enough, he could wear a different one every week.
Yeah, I mean, actually buy it for them from a discount.
So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I was just kind of thinking. Those guys, those are all the big shooters for my, you know, my money league that make all the money. So, you know, that's something that's probably right up their alley and could easily.
Yeah, no, they would just buy it.
They're just buying stuff. They all just buy New Jersey every week. So.
Yeah, I mean, I quickly went to their website and clicked on how it works. And, I mean, it's laid out really, put this together. So, I mean, tells you exactly how it works. And the whole purpose of the prepaid envelope is that once it's scanned by, you know, the post office, your next jersey is sent to you. So you don't even have to wait for them to receive your first, you know, the original jersey. I mean, you wear it, like we said, you wear your, you know, like you said, you know, for Mr. Fantasy, he wears whatever Monday night, puts it back in the bed, puts it in the envelope, puts it in the mailbox on his way to work Tuesday morning, the next Monday there's a queue ready lined up for him next Monday. I mean, to be honest,
let's be fair. There's no way Mr. Fantasy's stopping at a mailbox. He's having one of his minions at work added into their outgoing mail for the day. So, you know, there's no way he's actually doing that. So. You know, that's just kind of how that works out. But yeah, like I said, you know, it's an interesting concept. You know, I think right now the thing that hurts them is just limited availability. You know, I mean, we've got the NFL season starting literally in what? It's 8 days now. I think they kick off next Thursday, and you're looking at three teams. So I just don't think there's enough volume right now to, you know, get a fan interest. I mean, unless you're a, and I mean, nothing against the team, but, you know, the Niners have really struggled. The Lions haven't exactly been Super Bowl contenders. You know, I don't know, maybe it's their favorite teams and that's why they're doing it. But I mean, the only team you're looking at right now that they have that's going to be in playoff contention is the Seahawks. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously, Dan, you know, you're not a fan of any of the teams, but would you rent a jersey? I mean, you were going someplace and the Lions were playing the 49ers. Would you rent a jersey for that event? You'll show up in your Joe Montana jersey?
I think we picked the wrong one because it was two of the teams. You know, if it was the Lions versus anybody else, then why not? Definitely a good chance to rent a jersey. Even just to rent, you know, the fans and players for those three teams. You know, it's a small startup company. It just started. I think once it takes off, it's going to take off. And it says right here on the website that they're going to have the NBA by 2018. So they're not this year, but next year. I think it'll really pick off. I think it's a great idea. Wish I would have thought of it.
All right. Well, Dan, what I want to know then is how can you and I invest in this company?
Well, I think you have to email them to find out.
That's what I'm interested in here. You know, I am browsing jerseys right now, just kind of see who and what is out there, and you know, just kind of looking. I am a little disappointed. I don't see any offensive lineman jerseys just yet, because I could possibly be interested in, you know, wearing an offensive lineman jersey, but it does not look like they have any of those. That is a little disappointing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're kind of reaching out there, kind of being that guy right now. Where, I mean, when you go to the store or look online, no dress jerseys usually aren't available unless you're custom.
Well, they do have a Seahawk offensive lineman in there, so I'm a little happy about that. You know, that's a big plus. It does look like he may be the one, but that would be something you might. I'd have to rent when the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl this year. I might have to break down and rent a German Fetty jersey. They have classic Walter Jones. Nothing wrong with that. He's a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, it'll obviously be a lot nicer the more they get in here. You know, right now, look at the choices. It's a little limited, but yeah, you know, I want to know how you and I can give them money and invest in this company, Dan.
They probably want a couple minutes.
Well, that's nothing. You and I can get that together, can't we?
Yeah, let's just convince Mr. Fantasy.
Right, you know, piece of cake. You know, I guess the other thing, Dan, here is I'm looking for a place to possibly send them an email. Maybe we should see if one of these guys would like to come on and talk to us here at Sports Time Radio, huh? You know, it doesn't look like they have a, you know, I'll have to search the site a little more after we get off the air today, but it doesn't look like they have a contact. They're just pumping their social media stuff, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram kind of thing. So we'll have to see if we reach out to somebody, if they'll be nice enough to come on and talk to us. Because I know we haven't had a lot of luck with that lately. I don't want to book license anymore. So, yeah, and I know you mentioned it, but, yeah, the turnaround time, 2 to 3 days, that's awesome. So, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be too bad. But yeah, I thought, you know, like I said, I thought it was an interesting concept, you know, just kind of the, you know, the weirdest thing for me is just wearing, you know, a jersey that somebody else had probably had on a few days before. You know, I think if I could get over that, it would be okay for me. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely a, you know, an interesting idea. You know, we'll have to look for commercials for it. You know, if they run on the NFL games. But since we, you know, since they're starting off with NFL, but since we're kind of that way, I saw today the Cleveland Browns made a couple of moves today that actually involved some of their former first-round picks. One of the moves, they sent Cam Irving, who I'm trying to remember, he was a first-round pick for them. I don't think it was too long ago. Yeah, here it is, 2015. He was the 19th overall pick. They shipped him off to the Kansas City Chiefs, and all they got in return was a fifth-round draft pick for next year. The Browns are apparently stockpiling draft picks for next year for some reason. But hopefully it, you know, it works out for them. And then the other move, they had their number one pick from I'm drawing a blank on what year it was, but Joe Hayden, the cornerback, they decided to send him packed in. Here you go. He was a first-round pick in 2010. He was actually a top-10 pick, number 7 overall for Cleveland. He got shipped off. It's already been reporting he's going to sign with Pittsburgh, so he's going to end up staying in the same division if that's true. You know, Dan, I know we had a bit of a chuckle last year when the Browns were going to try to apply a sabermetric approach for football. You know, yeah, I'm guessing that their sabermetrics decided that these two first-round picks were busts and they got rid of them. You know, Dan, I don't know. Every time I think this team is improving, they turn around and they do something like this and I start to question it again. Are you buying the Browns at all, or are they going to be battling the Bears for the number one pick next year?
They're going to be battling the Bears for the number one pick. I mean, you know, Mr. Fantasy always likes to take the devil's advocate sometimes just to do it. But when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, it always annoyed me when he did it because, I mean, look at the way this organization has ran itself into being pretty much the laughing stock of the league. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I mean, they don't, not the fans, you know, I'd never say that about the fans, but they don't deserve a team. You know, the owners should be looking to, I know you're looking out for your team and you want, you know, you need teams like this to keep screwing up so that, you know, the Patriots and, you know, and company can continue to be at the top. But I mean, this just, what they do makes no sense. And like, why do you even have a franchise? You shouldn't be allowed to have a franchise because you have no clue how to run it. I mean, you might as well let me do things. I'd be the least qualified to run a football team, but I'd probably be better than they would.
Yeah, well, yeah, and what's so odd about it is, you know, they got a second chance for the NFL after the original Browns packed up and moved to Baltimore. So, you know, you wonder if or how or what it is that they just can't seem to get it right. And I'm just lost. You know, I mean, they have Joe Thomas, who's probably the best offensive tackle in football. And that's about it. You know, after trading for Brock Osweiler, they decided they were going to give the rookie time to develop. You know, they drafted DeShone Kizer in the second round. Okay, we're not going to rush him. We're going to let him develop. They play a few exhibition games, and now Kaiser's, they're going to be their starter heading into week one, and they're looking to trade Osweiler. So it's kind of like, oh, okay, fantastic. You know, I mean, Cam Irvin and Joe Hayden didn't have spots here or however it worked out, but You know, I mean, Hayden had some injury issues, and, you know, I thought Irving was a pretty solid tackle. I mean, he wasn't a Pro Bowler by any means, but he was a pretty solid player. You know, I know allegedly they had a pretty good draft this year with, you know, Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers, and the tight end they took, David, I believe it's Njawa. But, you know, kind of looking over their depth chart right now, they only have Garrett listed as a starter. So it doesn't look like they're going to get a ton out of the draft unless Kaiser is just phenomenal as a second-round pick. You know, again, I mentioned that they seem to be stockpiling draft picks for next year. I don't know if, you know, they're trying to be the Patriots, because the Patriots have been known to do that, just kind of, you know, go out and trade back and build and stockpile things. But obviously the Patriots have quite a head start on Cleveland. You know, only what, about, is it five Super Bowl trophies? Maybe it's four. I'm just not, you know, every time I see it, it's baffling. You know, when something comes up, you know, they have a lucky enough, Dan, they're actually here tomorrow. They play the Bears in the final preseason game. Not that we're really going to see anybody play. I don't even know if the starters will suit up. But yeah, you know, then they open up, you know, the first week one in, you know, they're hosting Pittsburgh. You know, and I got to tell you, Dan, if I'm doing a confidence pool, I'm putting all my points on Pittsburgh for that week. I just don't see Cleveland being able to beat them, even though Le'Veon Bell has missed the entire preseason. You know, they do play the Jets in week five, so maybe that's a win for them. But other than that, I mean, there aren't a ton of wins on this schedule. I mean, they're looking at, you know, 2-14, 3-13 again. And I don't get it. If you're a Browns fan, help me out. How are you hanging with this team? I know Dan would have left a long time ago.
Yeah. But, you know, the funny thing, though, is you brought up, because you said, you know, are the Browns just going to be battling the Bears for the worst team in the NFL this year? And, you know, ironically, the Browns are in town tomorrow night to take on the Bears. And couldn't get any better segue, but tomorrow night, Mitchell Trubisky should look like the greatest quarterback in the NFL against this horrible team. And I mean, you're going to fall asleep, or, you know, now you're not going to fall asleep because it'll be on. You're going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And the biggest question on guys whose job is to cover sports is going to be, why isn't Trubisky starting in week one? And why is Mike Glennon, which, I mean, we've dealt with this the entire summer. And it just amazes me that Chicago's own morning guys, again, this is their job, this is what they do every day. They've been covering sports almost, well, you know, maybe not as long as I've been alive, because I'm not so young anymore, but at least for the last 10 to 20 years. And they're still questioning why Glennon is the number one. And it just completely baffles me. And I actually, tomorrow, I think I'm just going to have the mothership on. I'm not even going to tune into the other local side. Because, I mean, it's just going to be completely ridiculous how we're going to hear that Mitch should be the number one starter. And, again, I pose the question, everyone knows that this team is not going to be a playoff team, despite the fact that national guys are like, oh, they're going to have a top-rated defense. They're going to be like one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL. They're not going to be a playoff team, no matter how good their defense is. And if they do somehow squeak in, Mitch Trubisky isn't going to make the difference to have this team, you know, go deep and go to a Super Bowl. So I don't know. I'm getting so over it. I can't wait for this season to be over, to be honest. It hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, going to be fun Friday morning, you know, once Trubisky goes out and looks like a world beater, you know, it's going to be like, oh, great, here we go again, you know. one of those things we get to deal with as things go along. But yeah, maybe I'll just try to find music on the radio. Do they still play music on the radio? Maybe I'll just listen to that. You know, there's gotta be something out there I can listen to, or I don't know. Help me out if there, you know, anybody wants to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And, you know, tell me what stations still play music, so I can, you know, luckily it's a short ride home, so I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean you know it, and I know it. I was still baffled this morning that, you know, they keep going back on what. You know, it's not the first guy in the name, but the second guy in the name. Well, John Fox said this on Monday, we don't have a game plan. And then on Tuesday, you know, Thursday, he's like, well, the game plan all along was to have this. You've been saying that for 3 weeks now. When you guys, I don't understand how people still listen when you pose the same questions every single week to your guest football guys. You ask the same dumbass questions. And I get it, you know, you're for the fans, and a lot of the fans are way too excited and want this guy up because he played great against, you know, guys who are going to be driving for Uber in a month. I don't understand. Like,
yeah, it's, you know what I mean? I get the
excitement?
Frustration, I guess, yeah, so to speak, you know. Looking back, I mean, you know, when was the Bears' last quarterback? You know, there was a ton of excitement when, you know, they made the deal to bring in Jay Cutler. Everybody thought they were finally getting a quarterback. You know, yeah, there was a lot of excitement when they picked Rex Grossman with the number one pick. You know, in reality, neither of those guys worked out. Technically, Grossman played in a Super Bowl, but you and I both know Kyle Orton was the quarterback that got him there. And he should have played in the Super Bowl. They would have had a better chance. Well, I'm lovey. But, yeah, I mean, you're going back to Jim McMahon. You know, again, right. You know, I mean, what he was a leader. You know, he was that guy who, you know, he seemed to come through in the clutch and he could lead guys. But, you know, numbers-wise, yeah, he was never a great quarterback. But, you know, in reality, you don't have to be. I mean, Farrat wins Super Bowls, so you know you don't have to be the best quarterback in the world to get the Super Bowl. Oh, all right. It's time for Dan and I to roll out of here, but hey, we're gonna come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. Dan will have his full preview for that Bears Browns game too, by the way. So if you want to tune in for that, you know the deal. While we're gone, though, sportstimeradio.com. Get over there and read the new blog. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. As always, Dan and I appreciate you jumping on the list live. That's really cool of you to do. But don't forget, you can get this podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com. Well, I better get on FanDuel tonight, Dan.
Sports Time Radio.